Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've been looking back through a commentary on the Gospel of Luke written by William Arndt. I've referenced it one other time. It was published in 1954. William Arndt was a professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He was part of the BDAG. So a few of you would know the BDAG, the Bauer, Danker, Arndt, Gingrich. Not Newt Gingrich, though. Yeah, a Greek lexicon. So for what that's worth, to probably very few people here. But an intelligent guy, Lutheran pastor, and he wrote about the Christian religion. He said this, he said, Christianity is the easiest religion in the world, and at the same time, it is the most difficult one. This is a paradox, that it is Christianity, following Jesus, is on the one hand easy, and on the other hand, it is the most difficult thing you can do. How in the world do these two things fit together? But we contend they do. I mean, Christianity is easy because, and you and I as Lutheran Christians, I would hope you know this, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, that we're saved by grace through faith. It's not anything we do. Christianity, on the one hand, is easy because the gospel is, believe this, it has already been done for you. And you and I would say, well, absolutely, because as Lutheran Christians, we say, we can't do anything to save ourselves. It's just that easy. Jesus has already done it for us. Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, holds all things together. He will come back on that day and make all things new. It's the simple and easy answer. We trust that Jesus is our Savior, and just as the kids told us, he saves us from sin and death and the power of the devil. We can cry out in faith that not only, and we did this morning when we confessed our sins, that Lord, we are messed up on the inside, and sometimes even show it on the outside, and the world around us is messed up. Lord, have mercy, save us now, and we hear and rejoice that Jesus is our Savior. He rescues us. He fixes us. He makes us new. We're saved by grace through faith. It's just that simple and easy. But on the other hand, Christianity may be the most difficult religion. Christianity is scandalously specific. It is offensive. We say that Jesus is Lord. Not a Lord, not part of the Sith Lords, or trying to vie with Lord Voldemort, as we talked about up here, but he is the Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And when he says, follow me, he doesn't leave any room for loopholes or exclusions. He doesn't ask you to negotiate a favorable contract. There's no room for Antonio Browns when it comes to following Jesus, for some of you who know about football. And Jesus started early on saying things like this. In Luke chapter 9, before Jesus takes Peter and James and John up the Mount of Transfiguration, he talks about discipleship, and he says that we need to commit, or anyone who wants to follow him needs to commit the entirety of their being, your heart, your soul, your mind, all that you are, to following him. He says in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And today's gospel lesson is really a review. Jesus comes back and he reiterates what he's been saying all along. Well, I've only got one sermon anyway, so this is pretty easy. Just go back and say the same thing. It's still all about Jesus, but what does it mean to follow him? See, today in Luke chapter 14, we have this reminder, this review of discipleship. Because for those who follow Jesus faithfully, we confess him as both Savior and Lord. So there are these great crowds that are accompanying Jesus, and he turns around and he says to them, if anyone comes to me and does not, now this If this isn't offensive, I'm not sure what is. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, I thought Jesus was all about love, and now he's talking about hate. Hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life. He says, he's going to say it three times, he cannot be my disciple. And maybe some of the people, he's anticipating what they're going to say, but why, but why, but why? And he says more. He says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, guess what? Cannot be my disciple. And then he gives these two little stories. They're not really parables. These stories about counting the cost, about considering this before you undertake this following Jesus. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and he's not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, and they say, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, who knows he's going to potentially be in a battle and he has 10,000 soldiers and realizes that the opposing king has 20,000 soldiers, doesn't consider first, though maybe I ought to go talk to him because it looks like the deck is stacked against me, and ask for terms of peace? And then Jesus gets right to the heart of this lesson in 14:33. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. The cost of discipleship is nothing less than a complete breach or break with the things of this world. To follow Jesus transforms us completely, it should, from the inside out. But it is not easy, as Jesus forms us for discipleship. See, we live by faith, and faith trusts that Jesus is our Savior and he'll be there to save us. Right? That feels good. Jesus, I messed up. Lord, have mercy. I did it again. Save me from this. That feels pretty good. I find it easier to call on Jesus as my Savior. But to call upon him, or not even call upon him, to trust him as Lord, well, that takes fear and love. See, Jesus here is not saying anything different that his Father has not already said through the prophets who have gone before. If you go back to the most foundational rule or law for our life and our living, you know, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. And you remember this because if you remembered anything from your memory, because when you go through catechesis or confirmation, at least that first commandment and the meaning to the first commandment, I think it's the easiest one. What does this mean? And it starts out, we should. Yeah. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. It takes total commitment. It takes faith. Not just to trust that Jesus is there as our Savior, but to fear and love him as our Lord. We trust that he is the Savior who walked the lonely way to the cross to hang there, to spill out his precious lifeblood, to redeem you and me, poor, miserable sinners, not with gold or silver that he gave, but his holy, precious blood, his innocent suffering and death. But we're also called to trust him, to fear and love him as Lord. And to trust him, to fear and love him as Lord, is not to say, well, Jesus, I will follow you, but I've just got a few things I'd like to just set expectations up front. See, that's what happened in Luke chapter 9 after Jesus came back down the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter and James and John. You remember the first person said, Jesus, I'll go with you wherever you go. And he said, well, look, the foxes have holes in the ground, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you so sure? You don't even know where I'm going. You so sure you want to follow me? And then someone says, well, I'll follow you, but let me go first bury my father. Well, no, let the dead bury their dead. Well, I'll follow you, but I got to go plow my field. And Jesus says, you can't put one hand on the plow and look backward with the other. You don't look with your hand, but have one hand looking. Not put two hands on the plow and know where you're going. Right? Consider this. Count the cost, because it is simple, the idea of following Jesus. But simple does not necessarily mean easy. Sometimes it might mean easy, but sometimes it could be perilously easy. Difficult. Because to follow Jesus and trust in him and fear and love him as both Savior and then as Lord is to trust that he sets the agenda. He sets the agenda. But the old Troy, the old Adam, loved to set the agenda. Well, Jesus, that sounds good and all, but first I'm going to do this, this, and this. Or that sounds good, Jesus, but I really don't think I'm going to do this or this or this because that person's kind of a doofus. So that's why I wouldn't follow you there. And Jesus says, nope, you got to renounce everything. We let him lead the way. That's living by faith. To fear, love, and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord above all things. See, Jesus is essentially saying, you cannot be my disciple if you want to set the terms. You got to let go of all that. If you think the terms are, well, I would be happy to follow you, Jesus, but I just need to make sure that I have at least this sort of debt-to-equity ratio or this much money in my bank account. I'd be happy to follow you, Jesus, but I'd like to get these three promotions here at my corporate job. I'd be happy to follow you, Jesus, but I got to get my knee replaced. I don't know whatever reason. There's no reason too small. I'd be happy to follow you, Jesus, but first I need to watch three more YouTube videos about making shrinky dinks. I don't know. This is off the top of my head. But no, he says, I set the agenda. I lead the way. He sets the terms. And so living by faith, see, as Lutheran Christians, we know, well, living by faith is that I don't do anything. That's right, you can't save yourself. Jesus is Savior. But living by faith is also then, and we heard this in the Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy about choose. Choose this day whom you serve. Are you going to choose life? Are you going to choose death? Every day, the old Adam, the old Eve has to be drowned because there's always a reason to want to say, but today I'm going to take back the agenda, Jesus. We got a few things, I got to talk with you, and then I'll follow. No. Because you and I don't know what the agenda is going to be. You have to let him decide. And that's scary. Just to go wherever he leads, because it might mean that he leads us to places of suffering. That he leads us to places that force us to let go of the things that we thought were the most needful, but they really weren't. It might mean that he keeps piling things on you more and more and more than you ever thought you could bear, and you wonder if you could take another step, and how did you get here with these people? And he says, follow me. And maybe sometimes it's just a whisper, an encouraging whisper, follow me. And sometimes maybe it's a shout, follow me. And sometimes, hey, remember I told you, follow me. So in the face of someone who thinks that following Jesus is just about, you get out of it what you put into it, and I am assured of at least a nice car and a trophy wife. No, that's not what it's about. If someone thinks that, I would follow you, Jesus, and I'm setting aside 2 hours a week to follow you, that's probably good enough, right, Jesus? No, I need your whole life. But what if, on the other hand, you say, look, I've been holding down this pew, now probably not this one because everybody's kind of jumbled up today. You say, I've been holding down this pew for 76 years. I've been counting the cost, and the more I think about it, the more I think it's probably too heavy. I think I'm about ready to just kind of sit down and bail out. And to you, Jesus says, come to me, you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, it doesn't matter where you are, whether you say, I don't think I could have this level of commitment and I'd never start, or you're somewhere just in between and indifferent, or you're over here and you think, I don't know if I can go any further. Jesus says, listen to me, follow me. Jesus, your Savior, has come, and you and I are saved by grace. It's a gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. His blood covers over your sin. You and I are given a new identity. As the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us and the Spirit lives within us and gives us a new beating heart, the Spirit invades our heart, then gives us a strength beyond what we thought we could do to follow Jesus, to forgive as we have been forgiven, to bear with others even when we think they are anything but bearable, to trust that we live by faith. Not by sight, but one day faith will become sight. I thought the quote from Martin Luther about perfect love casting out fear, and that following Jesus goes from something that we're afraid of to life becomes a joyful daring, but I can't find that quote anymore, so I don't know if that's a quote from Troy Countryman. If it is, I'd like to trademark it along with some other. Taco Tuesday, LeBron James and I are going to trademark that too. But Luther's quote, and I probably can't read it now. Oh, I can kind of read it. He says, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man would stake his life on it 1,000 times. And so yet again today we hear, it's still all about Jesus. Jesus who by faith we confess, yes, I look to that cross and I see that there my Savior, alas, he bled and died for me, and that is good news. I look and confess that the tomb is empty, that Christ is risen, and because he is risen, the entirety of the cosmos is changed forever, and the best is yet to come. And by faith we say, and yes, Jesus, we fear and love you as our Lord. And so we lay down our crowns, cast them at his feet, and we kneel before him and trust that to follow him is to go from living in fear to live in the joyful confidence, a daring confidence, or a joyful daring, which may or may not be a quote from Troy Countryman. I'd like you to check that later if you do that. So that's what it means to follow Jesus. Again, we hear that today as we come together as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we know that Jesus is both Savior and Lord. To him be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.